ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? How was that?
It sounds like you're going to need a minute. I hope you're ready for the Friday game against the Cougs. I hope you didn't blow
out
your...
You have any allergy medicine back there?
Yeah, you
there's a little tickle in my throat.
You blow out your voice. You're not going to have a voice for Friday.
He's not here. I'm Branham. It's Brian behind the glass. It is a Monday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Can you talk for like 20 seconds? I need to collect my breath.
You're gonna be okay.
That was tough for me. I don't think.
You sound very out of breath now. You put a lot of wind into that for sure.
I've had a day.
You've had a day. What was your what did you guys get back last night?
I laid my head to pillow at 5 a.m.
Oof.
5 a.m.
And now for people who don't know, you have obviously a little one.
We do. No, so, my wife was terrific last
night.
She
So you got to sleep in a little bit.
Yeah, we have a guest room. And nights that I get home really late, she'll set up the guest room for me and allow me to sleep in. I have
okay.
a great wife.
All right. Well, that's good. Wife. That's good.
So I gotta sleep in a little bit. I'm good. Riding on emotion. But what a game yesterday. Blankers,
well,
is in traffic.
Even if the game was here in Houston, you might not have got to bed to 5 a.m. because of how exciting that game was.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'd probably go to sleep before 5. But yes, there were some emotions yesterday. An absolute thriller. A March classic. Houston and Texas A&M. This is what the tournament's all about. Like, you have a game that you feel is unbelievable, and that's what it was. You knew it was going to be a tough game. Houston, Texas A&M. They're very similar, tough teams, physical teams, rebounding teams. The game's going to be won based on getting the rebounds. Is A&M the best offensive rebounding team in the country? Second overall. Houston prides themselves on the same thing. Texas A&M. Much improved team over the last 2 months. They've changed what they do offensively. They have three great guards. Boots Radford is a man. That guy
tough. If it wasn't for Boots Radford, that game would have gone to overtime. He was the only guy scoring on a consistent basis for the Aggies. Obviously, Wade Taylor, and we'll get into this in a minute, but rough shooting night for Wade Taylor.
Yeah, and I think you tip your cap to Jamal Shedd there.
Of course.
The first half, the teams were trading punches. It was going back and forth, a tight game throughout. Second half, Cougars were, they controlled. They controlled the second half.
Yeah, there was a stretch. I don't remember exactly what part of the second half was, but they kept running action to one side to where it seemed like the Aggies kept forgetting about L.J. Crier and left him wide open for a couple of huge
good
shots.
Offense.
It was very good offense. I was just surprised that it worked as many times in a row as it did it for the Cougars. Before the Aggies adjusted, but that certainly gave them a little cushion that they seemed to hold on to for most of the way. And I know you won't say this as the play-by-play guy, but when it got down to, I believe they were up 11, just under 2 minutes to play. I believe it was 1:58 when the shot goes in. It felt like it was over, and then the Aggies obviously went on a torrid pace there to close regulation.
Yeah. You had four starters foul out of this game. You had a walk-on that had to hit a clutch free throw to make it a two-possession game in overtime. You had, 45 free throws for Texas A&M? Houston shot 30. I mean, there were 75
in this
game.
I know the Aggies missed a lot of free throws. That was a big part of the early action looking, especially when they went to the first half graphic.
First
the Aggies
half,
were like
sure.
11 of 22 from the line. They missed a lot of free
throws.
They were
much better in the second half. They ended up shooting 64% from the line, which isn't good.
Still isn't good, yeah.
50% like it was at halftime. For Houston, like, it's a culture win. Like, you play games where in the tournament you have to find different ways to advance. I think Houston played good defense for a majority of this game, especially on Wade Taylor. Tip your cap to Jamal Shedd, the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, Big 12 Player of the Year. You tip your cap to Boots Radford, who is a stud. I love that guy's game. He is so good. But then the Houston Cougars, who were in foul trouble throughout the game, had four starters foul out. The other team shot 45 free throws, yet you still find a way to win the basketball game. You also scored 86 points in regulation, which I know a lot of critics to the Cougars. Well, they can't score. Not a good offensive team. It's like, they're top 15 in KenPom offensive efficiency. You don't look at that because you look at all the other variables, and they're playing more lower-scoring games because their defense kind of dictates that. You look at Buzz Williams. Buzz Williams quotes in the press conference after the game. We couldn't stop them offensive. We couldn't stop their offense.
Well, yeah, to your point, they don't have to score 86 points in most regulations to win the game. So if you don't have to, that's especially for a defensive-minded head coach like Kelvin Sampson, you're not going to put yourself out there if you don't have to do it. You're not going to create more chances for bad play if you can play a low-scoring game and cruise your way to victory.
So I'm not a big get-on-officials guy. I know how hard that job is. I like officials, especially you get two physical teams like that. It makes it a very, very difficult game to officiate. I know I saw a lot of discord from Houston fans that they were displeased with the whistle. Four guys fouled out. The other team shot 45 free throws. But I have a couple of Aggie friends. I have a couple of Aggie acquaintances that they weren't happy with the whistle either. So I'm curious you, Brian, as a complete neutral party, because you're a Texas fan, what you thought of the whistle?
I thought it was tight. I thought there were some missed calls. I didn't think it was egregious for either side, though.
The only one that... Well, I mean, I had a lot of, objections, but the one that I thought was the craziest call of the night, and I, live, I was like, okay, that didn't look like that to me, but I didn't have a good look.
The sidelines on the steal?
No, the jump ball. Okay, the jump ball that gave the Aggies the basketball with one final possession with 1.2. It was Locker that posted the, a replay of that from, like, I haven't watched the game back yet. I haven't had time, but I've seen clips of that jump ball. In my mind, there is never... ever a simultaneous possession. Ever. I don't see an Aggie even touch the ball. So I don't know how that was called a jump ball. That, to me, was the worst call of the night.
Yeah. No, there's – I mean, look, I think you're, as you mentioned, kind of in the lead up to this, in every game there's going to be bad calls, there's going to be missed calls. But overall, I mean, despite the free throw disparity, I don't think it was an egregious called game for either side. If the fact that both teams are complaining about refs tends to lead me to the side of – then it didn't really affect the outcome a whole lot in the game. But certainly there were definitely calls to be mad about on both sides.
The jump ball totally changed the direction of the game. I mean, you don't call the jump ball, then you have to foul there. There's a 1 second at most left, and the Cougars are going to the free throw line up by three.
Sure.
Uncle Barney texted me a moment ago, and he said, if you handed the ball to the Aggies, don't even get the jump ball, just hand it to them. Here you go. You have the ball. There's a layup. It's a one-point game with 0.4 left.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I couldn't believe in real time, it was like, okay, it must have been there, and I just didn't see it. After watching the replay, it kind of triggers me. It kind of makes me mad because it could have I was on the opposite baseline. I was probably free throw line extended opposite of the Cougar bench. You didn't see me make that great catch on the sideline, by the way. There was a pass that got thrown out of bounds, and I made a terrific catch.
I should have
early second
that.
Half. It was a beautiful, best hands in the business.
Yeah, I know. There's a video out there.
I will post it. Whenever I find it, I will post it because I, of course, pat myself on the back. Yeah, I'm going to add it to the highlight reel. Best hands in the business. No radio guy's got hands like Branham. That's what they say. That's what the scouts say. So I was on the opposite side of the floor. I was on the other half of the floor. But the jump ball was the worst call I've ever seen in my life. And this is totally hindsight 2020 because I didn't see it live. Live, I was questioning it. I was like, that was a quick jump ball, man. That was super quick. I'm not sure. But then watching the replay later, no jump ball. And it really, I know that you win the game and all that, but if you were to lose in overtime based on that call, I would have taken off the entire week from the show.
That bad, huh?
How do you make that? It could have totally changed.
I mean, we're only
fate of this year's basketball team.
I mean, absolutely, but we're only a few days removed from the Sanford Kansas game with the block or the block that should have been called
sure,
a block.
That one's bad too.
Yeah, no. So it's,
I'm not comparing. I'm not saying that this is like worse than that one or whatever. Maybe I am. They were both bad calls, though.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I wouldn't blame you for being mad if the Cougars had gone on to lose in overtime, but. I mean, it's one of those things where there's a million – maybe this is just kind of my mindset for the general blaming of refs when it comes to these tight games. There's a million things that happen in the game leading up to that point mm-hmm. where you could point to any one team, if they do this better on their own, that better on their own, then in that spot they're not in that moment to even have the 100%. Ref call, to bring it into question.
That's one of many reasons I don't bang on officials. Yeah. I think banging on officials is – silly. I see these Twitter dudes all the time. Oh, this call. And then, like, a call goes your way. And you're like, oh, what a great call.
Exactly.
Like, you're a hypocrite, dude. I can't take you seriously. So I'm not a big bang on it. Like, if it's warranted, I'll certainly mention it. We can talk about it. But I probably defend officials and calls more than anything, actually. I thought that one was bad, though. I saw a lot of people talking about defending that baseline out-of-bounds play that led to the game-tying three that sent the game into overtime. That was more of a missed assignment than anything else. If you were to watch that play, the Cougars had a lot of attention on Wade Taylor, who is their,
he's their best Mr. Everything.
Offensive player. Didn't play that way yesterday, credit Jamal Shedd. But if you look at that play, there was a screen set at the right wing. Taylor was running to the corner, and the Cougars switched it. And the guy who got screened, instead of switching it as well, he chased down Taylor, which allowed Garcia to get wide open. So it was more missed assignment than anything else. I think you bring up a good point about Wade Taylor. Wade Taylor was on a heater going into that game yesterday. I got my game notes here.
So oh, yeah. You got the
I'll just pull these out and just read them right off the cuff here. Some real-time game notes. Wade Taylor had a stretch in SEC play late in the year where he missed 12 straight threes. He was 0 for 12 in back-to-back games. Since that point, he had been averaging 23 points a game, 48% from three in a stretch of six games. In his last three games, he scored at least 19 points in each of those games, was averaging 25 a game in a 45% three-point shooter. Yesterday, the best defensive player in the entire country, in my mind, held Wade Taylor to 5 of 26 shooting, 3 of 13 from downtown. And I want to go to this quote from this soundbite from Jamal Shedd. This was pregame. I think this was the Saturday in the media availability there in Memphis. Where look at the demeanor of Shedd when he's asked about having to defend Wade Taylor.
He had a really good game versus us. He brought them back. And, yeah, I'm excited to play him again.
Love that demeanor. Like, you credit the opponent, but you could tell I want a little bit of Wade Taylor again. Because they, if you didn't know, these two teams played in December. Houston won by 4. They're up by 20. Aggies made a great comeback because of Wade Taylor. Had, like, 24 points in the second half on Jamal Shedd. Jumping at the bit. And I would say that revenge was nice for Jamal Shedd yesterday.
I mean, certainly, because if we played the rest of that clip, because they kind of tried to follow up with Shedd, try to get more out of him. Like, mm-hmm. Hey, come on, expand. You guys played before. What's the motion? Get that sort of thing out of him. And he does basically the same thing, kind of deadpans against, like, yeah, he had a good game. I look forward to the rematch.
You could tell, like, in that quote, that little bite there, we'll let actions talk.
Yeah.
We'll let the actions talk.
You could tell in his facial expressions, the tone of his voice, like, he's been motivated and had this rematch. I mean, obviously, he didn't know the rematch was definitely possible until Friday when the Aggies run their first-round matchup. But I'm sure he was kind of hoping for this rematch.
2769 refs were calling ticky-tacky fouls the reason for the Cougs foul trouble. I went back and watched like 8 minutes of the game yesterday as I fell asleep, but I'm going to watch the rest probably tonight. 6043, the jump ball was a horrible call. Not a good one. Not a good call. 0793 says that was the best intro the show has had in months. My what up, H-Town? Hey,
wow.
Speaking of Blankers.
I'm going to call him
Now. Yeah, call him up. He said that he was in traffic. Apparently, there was a bad wreck on 59. He lives where? The Fort Bend area, Sugar Land area, wherever. So he was.
Sugarland.
Where's that?
He lives in the Sugarland area.
Sugarland. That was my second. Is Sugarland and Fort Bend not the same?
I actually don't really
even
know. I
think they're the same thing. I think Sugarland's in Fort Bend County. I think that's why. I could be wrong. I live on the north side of town. I don't really know. Yeah, but Blankers said that he was in traffic. So we're going to get an update on what's going on with Blankers, when we might be expecting Blankers on the show today, what his ETA might be. So Brian's calling him right now. 3209. I'm glad they won because we would have lost this game if we would have gone to double OT. We need to control our fouls. Look, it was ticky-tacky. Yeah, I mean, point taken, sure, especially with a limited bench and all that, but it is also the way that they play, and the way that they play is one of the best defenses in the entire country. So I think Brian's got Blankers on now. Blankers in traffic. There was a bad wreck on 59. You got him, Brian? All right. Blankers, what's your update? What's going on, man? What's leading all this traffic?
You're extra cocky when I'm not in the studio.
I'm always cocky.
That's always entertaining to have to listen to when I'm stuck in traffic. The update is that I've been moving at a pace of
All the time we got. We're up against it, Blankers. Sorry. You know how it works. Up against it. So looking forward to you getting here, but please text us any further updates that you might have. Coming up next, we can keep talking. We can keep talking some Cougar basketball if you'd like. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. 713-780-3776. When we come back, well, Blankers isn't here to answer this question, but is Blankers still on the embrace the suck train when it comes to the Houston Rockets? 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, on the 713-780-3776, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. You can search for us at ESPN Houston on YouTube or there as well. He's at Sacked by BMAC on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. When Blankers gets here, I'll tell you his Twitter handle. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
Just Branham, actually. No Blankers today. He might be here eventually. He's in traffic on 59. 713-780-ESPN.
I mean, we tried to talk to him, but, you know, we're
up
out
against
of time.
It. Yeah. We're up against it. I mean, the clock matters more than any individual.
Yeah, but none of us are bigger than the clock.
None of us are bigger than the clock. 8437, what is Blankers ETA, wrong answers only? Or Blankers says he's in traffic. I have no idea.
Oh, are you claiming conspiracy theory?
I'm saying for the sake of the bit, yeah. For the sake of the entertainment value, yeah. Blankers said he was in traffic, but where is Blankers really, and why is Blankers really late? Wrong answers only, 713-780-3776. Maybe he was. I mean, we did get the text. I do have some questions for Blankers whenever he arrives, though, by the way.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. I mean, I guess we could pull up the traffic.
You're gonna interrogate him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to put the spotlight on him.
Yeah.
I'm going to put the spotlight on him.
I think that's fair.
Because I do have some questions. I'm wondering if this story's really adding up.
Okay. I like it.
Wondering if this story is really adding up. So I am going to interrogate him.
Maybe we should pull up Google Maps, see if there's really some red lines there where he says he is.
Yeah, do that, actually.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm doing it right. I don't know if this app really tracks that. I mean, I believe him, but for the sake of the bit, let's have a little fun. Where is Blanker? Why is Blankers really late? Wrong answers only. 713-780-3776. 3209 said Blankers just landed from Memphis. No, that was me. That was me. I just landed from Memphis. 9780, Shedd's fifth foul was brutal. I thought so too, but look, I'm looking through Cougar goggles. I haven't watched that one back yet, so I have to go back and see it. 5044 is an Aggie, but also a Coug fan, listener. The Aggies just got beat by a better team. No shame in that. Go Cougs. If we're going to lose, then let's lose to the national champs. Look, I'll be honest. I'll say it now. I didn't like seeing A&M as the 9 seed. I didn't like seeing A&M as the 9 seed. Like,
because of the potential trash talk if the Cougars lost, or
no,
just because you felt they were dangerous?
No, I don't care about that. I feel like A&M didn't play to their potential for a good majority of the year, probably the first half of the year. I mean, last year they were 15-3 in the SEC and won the SEC regular season and returned just about everybody.
Right.
They had a tough schedule. I think that they were not playing to their best, and I think in a variety of different ways. I think from a player standpoint, Radford had some injuries early, had some issues off the court, silly issues off the court. Not silly from him, silly from other people. And then secondly, they totally changed what they were doing offensively. Like, they were kind of round pegging, square holing it, not really playing to their personnel. And then about halfway through conference play, it's like, we have three unbelievable guards that are tough to stop in space. Why don't we space the floor and get them on one-on-one matchups against some defensive players that can't guard them? And then since they did that, their offense went through the roof. It skyrocketed.
Maybe that's when Coach Jack Easterby stepped in and told Buzz Williams, Buzz
Williams gave a different answer than the players, by the way. When they were asked about Jack Easterby
Buzz
being there.
Coach Jack.
Buzz did?
Yes.
Well, he said that he's just been around. Whereas, the players said he's been leading prayer for 3 months.
Oh, man. I mean, he was a team chaplain in New England. So if he's leading prayer and that's all he's doing, you know, fine, I guess. But no, in the initial press conference, or it was between the games. It wasn't last night, but it was in the game between the day between their first round win and the game against the Cougars last night. Buzz was specifically asked about Jack Easterby. How could he not? What two teams in the tournament, unless you want to include the Longhorns, mm-hmm. would know more about Jack Easterby than fans of the Aggies and the Cougars? So, yeah, a media member asked him about Jack Easterby and his involvement, and at one point, Buzz referred to him as, quote, Coach Jack. Which, He could have almost said anything, and I think a lot of it's like, okay, whatever. But the fact that he called him Coach Jack, I think I'm sure it had to irritate a lot of people hearing that.
Yeah, I think we overrate the significance of him being involved in the program because of how it happened in the with the Texans. Like, he's good at other things. Just don't let him control the roster.
Sure, but words matter. You can't call him Coach Jack.
Yeah, that's
that's questionable at best.
That is a little bit interesting. 713-780-37. But to the point, I think A&M was like their talent. I think they were a top three seed. I don't think they're a nine seed. Like, I think that they're one of the more talent, especially their backcourt, one of the more talented teams in the tournament.
Yeah, specifically to the guards, I think I could go with you there. Three might be, I don't know.
I think so. What were they last year? I mean, They went 15-3 in the SEC last year.
I mean, I certainly believe they would have been better than a 9 seed, which was what they ended up with. I mean, they would not have been facing the Cougars in round two.
I think they were the best 8-9 seed in the NCAA tournament. I don't have any problem saying that. I think they're better than FAU. I think they're far better than Northwestern. Michigan's talented for sure. A&M's far more talented than Michigan State. Now, Michigan State has a legendary Hall of Fame coach that gets the absolute most out of his team.
If you're putting the two teams on the court in a game, I think I might lean Michigan
State. Michigan State's a good call more for different reasons.
Right.
Michigan State because of Tom Izzo.
Sure.
And he's a
legend
in March.
He doesn't lose first-round games.
A&M's roster, though, from any of the 8-9 teams, I would put them as the best.
Yeah,
but a lot of people would say FAU. I don't know about FAU. FAU wasn't great this year. They're kind of more resting on the laurels of last year.
Yeah, obviously they win their first round game. They get smoked by UConn. It's hard to say.
No, they lost to their first round game. FAU lost to Northwestern.
You're right. I'm thinking of San Diego State is going to have the rematch with UConn coming up in the Sweet 16. I think you have an argument there for sure. You think the Aggies, I would say, at least fully healthy all season, maybe don't have the weight to switch to the different offensive philosophy, as you pointed out. Maybe they end up as a six seed, five seed, but certainly
maybe
three seed. Either way, they would have been playing the Aggies in round two, which I think is your overall point. They played a more talented team in round two than they necessarily should have had to.
It's funny. Look at Dan Hurley's talking about how they loaded up that bracket and stuff.
Such
and
a
he's
whiner.
Like, he's complaining about everything. And he's like, well, we got two Final Four teams at FAU and San Diego State. And we have the hottest team with Auburn. He's like, we have the hottest team with Auburn in our region.
Right.
Auburn loses. You won't have to play them. FAU lost to Northwestern. You played a team that you beat by 50. You might have to play. They will play San Diego State, but that region's kind of opened up for him. So he's sitting here complaining about how tough things are for him, and it's completely opened up in that region.
Yeah, I mean, I could guess I could get his points, but going into the tournament, obviously going on Auburn is specifically hell. I had them in our tournament game here, and I based that largely upon the KenPom ratings, which they were, I think fourth in the nation in overall KenPom ratings, and they go down in round one. So I guess to Dan Hurley's point, drawing Auburn as a four seed in the Sweet 16, had Auburn actually advanced and not gotten upset, would have been considered a pretty tough draw. But you never know how things bounce in the tournament, so it's tough to make those complaints before they actually happen.
The pre-tournament, I would agree with that. Pre-tournament, I would absolutely agree with that. And we have the ability to do hindsight 2020, which I don't like doing. But Auburn was playing about as good as anybody. But that's the beauty of the NCAA tournament. You don't know what you're going to get. Blankers is late because he's stuck in traffic. Wrong answers only. Why is Blankers really not here?
Is it possibly caused his own wreck because he doesn't want to have to talk about his belief if the Rockets should still tank?
No. No. He didn't say he was in a wreck, did he?
Well, he's stuck behind her, right?
Yeah, but he's not in
there. Maybe he's twisting the story. Maybe he caused his
own wreck. I do have
questions.
I do have questions with the evidence that we've been presented. 4106, Blankers got stuck in a man-made hole in the wall of a public park restroom. How big is this hole? And does Blankers walk in public parks? I don't think he does. Eric says wrong answers only, ? He's in traffic. That's my favorite one. Key from L.A., Blankers had to go to Lake Charles to place a bet for Shohei Ohtani, which you were there. How was LeBerge?
Sean and Joe were there. We actually placed a couple of wagers as a team on the Astros. Got some action down.
Y'all did it as a team?
Yeah, we pulled our money together, made two different bets. We put the over on Astros 92.5 wins, and we put a bet in on the Astros as the American League champs.
This is interesting to me that y'all pooled y'all this money. Why didn't y'all just make three individual bets on the same thing?
Team bonding activity. We were all out there, LeBurge, doing the show together. We decided to go in on it together.
I'm pro-team bonding, but I'm anti-stupid ideas.
Why is that such a stupid idea?
I don't understand why y'all collected y'all's money. Like, if y'all are collecting y'all's money to make, like, a parlay, that makes some sense because now you have more stakes, it's a higher payout, things like that. But for the three of you to pull the money to make a futures bet, why didn't y'all just make each individual bet with yourselves?
I guess you're just not as much of a team player as Joe and Mason and I.
I think I'm learning that I'm more pro stupid idea or more anti stupid idea than pro team player.
No, there were some other stupid ideas made at the LaBerge, but that wasn't one of them.
8437 Blankers is late. Did y'all gamble at all?
Yeah, I know Joe and Sean played some blackjack. I didn't get there as early as they did, so I didn't get any gambling in outside those two bets. But they both played some blackjack. Joe claimed he was up on the day for blackjack, so he apparently did well.
You say that like you're unsure, like you question if he really is.
He didn't show me the slips, so he didn't show me the chips. I don't know. But he claimed he was up on the day. So
5004. I followed the Ags close this year. Branham nailed it right on the money about their struggles midseason. Yeah, they changed their offense, and it was for the better. 0-1, actually, we'll go with 1-6-4-2. Do we think Coach Jack still lives in Houston and listens to the Killer Bees to avoid the highway to hell? Probably doesn't listen to sports radio, if I had to imagine.
I think he's fairly safe now, though. I'll say it like this. He's far enough removed to where his name doesn't come up much.
Probably, but also you're not going to want
to. Like today.
But still, even if your name's removed, you're not really going to want to hear about the team that you have blood with or they've fired you.
Yeah, especially when they're doing well.
Yeah, I doubt
You might listen when they're doing poorly because you're like, see, I was there, this would be different. But
right.
Since they basically turned the table, pretty quickly after you left.
He's like, look at the foundation that I instilled. Yeah. This is all my doing. I wonder if he lives in Houston. I wouldn't surprise me if he did. Like, if he's close with the A&M program.
Yeah.
Like, Houston's close enough.
Buzz, in the same press conference where he called him Coach Jack, did say he knew Jack before he even
took. Oh, yeah. I mean, they've known each other for years.
They go back before Jack was even a member of the Texans. So, I could see him being a part of the A&M program without living in Houston, but certainly the travel would be easy.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, if he's around them that much, is he flying in or is he driving in? It's more likely that he's driving in.
Driving in, but the Aggies have money to fly him in.
I don't think you're flying him in. I don't think you're spending money to fly him in. I really don't.
You're underestimating the schmoozing that Coach Jack does to wiggle his way into the heads of these decision makers.
I have a really difficult time believing that he gets flown in on A&M's dime. I just can't believe that.
I found it hard to believe that he was wormed his way into Cal's head for as long as he did. But, I was surprised by that. So I'm just saying it's not impossible with the budget, the size of what the Aggies have, that he could be being flown in.
8437, Blankers is late because he lost track of time trying to get some last-minute thumb war reps so that he could challenge Branham for the best hands in sports radio. I like the text. I think it's funny. But hands and thumb war, I don't think is a correlation.
You're not equating thumb strength to your hands?
No, hands is like the ability to catch.
Now, if we
not had, the ability to thumb wrestle.
Obviously, we'll get into this at 4. Your first round matchup in our fight bracket might not have gone the way you'd hoped. But if we'd had
audience.
If we'd had a hands bracket, I mean, are you a one seed?
No doubt. No doubt. We like
I love how confident
Baytown Batty
that.
Bobbles the ball.
Oh,
fumbles it.
Yeah, well, that was the
better hands in the show. Yeah, Locker's. I don't think he's an athlete. Lopez probably has good hands because of the years of fishing. Like that's good hand eye. Like
and he's used to. I mean, if he can hang on to something as slimy as a fish, he can probably catch a ball.
Yeah, I think that he would have solid hands. Bajani would. Creighton, Pendergast. I mean, I don't think Payne would. He's more of a he's a bigger guy. Bigger guys don't really, have as good a hands as 6'1" guys.
What about Clanton?
6'1". Who?
Clanton.
I don't know. I've never really seen him catch anything. Wexler, no. MT, no. Salisbury probably has pretty good hands.
Anybody here you would feel as a threat to
I'm
your
trying,
hands?
I'm just going through the Granato. Not really. Lance, no. I bet you Paul has pretty good hands.
I mean, he wasn't all district safety.
Yeah, but he's playing defense, not offense. There's a reason he's playing safety. Why wasn't he playing receiver?
Set you up for that one.
So
you're welcome.
Yeah, I think I would. I mean, I don't know if the voters would vote that way.
I've got a problem with a few of the votes, and I say that as a man who will be in the bracket today. Hopefully it doesn't go the wrong way.
Oh, you're in the bracket
me.
Today?
If we're doing three a day, then I would be, yeah.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. We'll hold off on asking Blankers if he's still on the embrace the suck train whenever he gets here. 32 minutes length. Is this a nothing burger or a something burger? 713-780-ESPN. The Shams reporting on Jalen Green being a Brooklyn Net. Is this a something burger or a nothing burger? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. It's time, basketball bettors. We're having so much fun with the tournament. It's March Mania. Brant, I'm here to tell you all about BetUS.com. I endorse one sportsbook and casino, and that's BetUS.com. They've been driving to the basket for over 30 years. This year, BetUS has an epic three-pointer, a 125% sign-up bonus in your first three deposits. That's right. The industry's craziest 125% sign-up bonus in your first three deposits. Plus, 10% gambler's insurance, and there's even more. BetUS accepts crypto and is offering a massive 200% crypto sign-up bonus. Gambler's insurance and crypto. You don't see that everywhere. March Mania basketball can even get more exciting with their live in-game betting. It's also a blast to check out their casino after the game, where you could get a 250% casino bonus. Get started by visiting BetUS.com or give them a call at 1-800-MY-BETUS to learn all about their bonuses and special offers. BetUS, where the game begins.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
He's not Blankers because he's not here. We do have an update on Blankers. I'm Branham, Brian behind the glass. Blankers just tweeted at us. He tweeted at me. Guess he didn't see you as talent like I do.
Wow.
He said,
disrespectful.
Been in this for over an hour. Moving about a foot and a half a minute on 59. Some are saying this was caused by the police escort. Branham requested to get to the studio after the big victory last night. I had a police escort in Memphis, not in Houston, though. He
Is that because you're a bigger deal in Memphis than in Houston?
Yeah. There's no doubt. I mean, I'm a spoke on the wheel. Yeah. He did send a picture of the traffic. The question, though, is this a recent picture?
Yeah.
Because it's kind of overcast right now in Houston. It's kind of gray, right?
Sure.
Sun's out here.
Could be an earlier picture. We don't know.
Sun's out here.
Yeah. I'm going to say it. If he's only moving a foot and a half per minute, he could walk faster than that.
He could walk.
Pull over to the shoulder. Walk here.
We're obviously having fun with Blankers. Blankers, I know it's frustrating.
Be a good teammate. Get here. Walk.
I know that you're frustrated right now, Blankers, but it's not a big deal. It's not. We got your back. I'm speaking sincerely, and we're obviously going to have fun at your expense. We're not going to miss. Like, what is the old saying? Never let a crisis go to waste. We're not going to let the crisis here go to waste. But in all sincerity, we're good, Blankers. You've
we're
had
team
our
content,
back plenty
man.
Time.
We got to make fun of it.
Yeah, content over feelings. But in all sincerity, take your time. Well, not that you have any choice. You don't have a choice.
If you're moving a foot and a half per minute, yeah, you're kind of locked into that.
So back when I was at the Highway to Hell, my car at the time had a flat tire. I woke up and it had a flat tire.
Is this when we were doing the show together with the Baytown Body?
Yeah.
Is this, okay.
Yeah. So I woke up. No, I didn't go to the car that day. Like, I do all the prep from home, and, like, I hadn't gone out to my car. So I'm getting ready to go. It's like, I guess that show starts at 2.
It started
I'm probably
at 2.
Leaving
yeah.
around noon. So whenever I walk out, I notice my tire's, like, flat. Like, it's flat. It's on, like, to the rim. I can't
right.
I can't drive this thing, and I don't have the time to, like, change it and then get to work on time. So I made the executive decision to do it by remote. To do it by remote because I had the equipment. No big deal. Sounds just fine. And I got in trouble for not Ubering to the station. And keep in mind, I live up in Spring Woodlands area. So that would have been like over $100 Uber. And I got yelled at for not. I didn't get yelled at. It didn't get yelled at. It was more of a, I would have rather you have taken the Uber than to use your Comrex unit, which sounds just fine.
Jeremy, I don't know if we want to get into this.
I know you have one.
I had the exact same conversation with the exact same person. I was told I could either Uber or catch a ride from John Lopez. That was what I was told. And my wife.
And you're in Kingwood.
I'm in Kingwood, right. So this same person, there was a day where my wife started off for school, and she got not even all the way down the street, and she calls me, the car's smoking. And so I was like, well, you know, I'm going to drive our car over to you, or my car over to you. You take that car to work, you know, and I'll get your car taken care of. And so I text the person you're referring to in the assistant PD and mention, like, hey, I got to get this car taken care of. I might not be into work today. That way they have – because the worst thing you can do is tell someone 30 minutes before a show that you're not going to be in, right? So I wanted to give them plenty of leeway. And days later, I get called in this meeting and just chewed out that I didn't want it enough. Mm-hmm. My heart wasn't in it, and I wasn't passionate for this because I could have – Like he told you, gotten an Uber, I could have caught a ride from John Lopez, all ignoring the fact that even if I'd done that, I would still have this car the next day that would still need to be taken care of. And by the way, I actually did get into work. Like, all that to say.
That's right. You still made it.
I still made it to work.
I forgot that you had made it.
And days later, he's so pissed that he calls me into a meeting and reams me out for 45 minutes for hypothetically not making it there in time when I did show the passion to get it taken care of and still make it into work.
I forgot that you had made it in. Ugh. I remember the rest of the story, which is kind of why I brought it up, because I wanted you to say your story.
That was the day I decided to get out of radio. And then years
you
later.
You didn't want it enough.
Yeah, exactly. And then years later, you guys brought me back. But yeah.
0892, why is Blinkers not here yet? Heart attack Cougs caused a late night ER visit and just got released after 12-hour eval.
That's not nice.
It's a wrong answer.
It is a wrong answer.
Are we expecting these to be nice?
No.
6927, Blankers forgot to spit his gum out before his dance class with Swayze's coach. So now he's in timeout.
You mean Cookie?
That's Miss Cookie.
We got another reference to Cookie on the show? Let's make it the show better.
Miss Cookie. 713-780-ESPN. So the Rockets, they're doing some good things. We'll get to that in a minute. I hear Blankers. Blankers. I hear them.
You hear them coming
in? I hear them, yeah. We'll save the Blankers, Embrace the Suck stuff in a little bit.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I do hear them. Okay.
Is this a nothing burger or a something burger? Do you have the audio here? Shams?
Yeah, I've got it.
Is it Shams or Shams? I never know.
I
Blankers
think it's
always
Shams.
Breaks me on that. Shams or Shams? Is it Shams or Shams, Blankers? Shams. It's Shams. So here was Shams talking about the Rockets almost trading Jalen Green. Something burger or nothing burger? 713-780-3776.
And just taking us back 2 months ago, the Rockets called the Nets on Mikal Bridges, and I'm told they discussed the concept around Jalen Green and multiple first-round picks. That deal was not accepted by the Brooklyn Nets. That didn't progress anywhere. And now you're looking at it. It's a great problem for the Rockets to have. You have two burgeoning stars, I think, with Sengun, with Jalen Green, and they're both extension eligible this summer. They're both going to be in line for massive deals, potentially, in extensions. But Jalen Green needs this space, like this pace that they're playing with now. He needs it without Sengun in the lineup. So what do you do if you're the Rockets moving forward? Can these two guys coexist? Can they play with each other? How do their styles balance each other? They haven't figured it out yet.
So there was Sham saying that the Rockets were on the verge of trading him for Bridges to the Nets. I've thought, Blankers, that this was BS from the very beginning. I've called it that. I said, I don't believe this. I don't believe this story. Do you think that's a nothing burger or a something burger? Do you buy that?
I've heard from a few people that there was a conversation, at least one. I don't know if it went any further than that. I don't know who instigated the conversation. I don't know the depth of it. We just have to kind of remember at the time that the trade deadline was popping up and these rumors were coming out was a time when Jalen Green was not freaking playing very well.
Did you hear what Joe said?
Yeah, I heard Joe.
He said, thanks for finally showing up.
Joe is probationary talent at this point. He's got to prove himself a little bit more before I even respect his opinion or his put downs. To me, it's just one of those situations where we forget because of how well he's played lately that at that time, I was the one that said, hey, I'm not saying trade him at all, but you got to at least see if there's even a market for him anymore. And I think that's what the Rockets were doing.
See, I hope they weren't. But if there was the conversation, it could be as simple as the Nets being like, hey, is this something you would entertain? And them being like, hey, no, it's not. You know?
Yeah, the biggest thing is who instigated the conversation. We may never know. But if you're the Nets and you've scouted this kid coming out, you realize, and we've said it, there's a boatload of basketball talent just waiting for someone to try and kind of, untap the resource or tap the resource and get everything you can out of him. Obviously, Steven Silas wasn't able to do that. He was struggling to adapt to Udoka. And maybe the Nets were looking for a bargain, which a lot of teams do. Daryl Morey used to do it all the time. But overall, when you look at the situation, it's like you don't know who instigated the conversation. Everybody assumes the Rockets were trying to dump out. Maybe some savvy general managers were trying to cash in.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. My other thing is, like, I don't care. Like, I don't deal with almost. Like, I don't deal with this whole, well, this almost happened. I don't care if it almost happened. I care what does happen. It goes back to the Keenan Allen thing the other day. People celebrating Nick Caserio for missing out on Keenan Allen. Cool, you got second place. That does nothing for me. Do you have Keenan Allen now? Oh, you don't? Then I don't care that you almost got Keenan Allen.
Jeremy, we forget now because it's easy to do. Well, Robert Horry was and Matt Bullard were almost traded for Sean Elliott. And then the deal didn't go through. 24 hours later, they were back with the Rockets. That might have been the greatest thing that ever happened in Rockets lore because with Robert Horry, the Rockets won two championships.
That one a little different because it actually, like, happened.
Yeah, there was a medical, but still.
It actually happened. And they
Chris Paul almost got traded physical. To the Rockets a time before he actually got traded to the Rockets.
Well, the commissioner got
involved. That was the commissioner for
that was the three-way?
Yeah, with the Pelicans.
Yeah, where the Rockets would have gotten Pau Gasol and given up four-fifths of their starting lineup. And just and draft picks and everything else, and they would have been absolutely handcuffed for years. And Stern was the acting owner of the Pelicans while they were for sale and decided to veto it.
That was that three-way.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN. Is Blanker still embracing the suck when it comes to the Rockets? Also, I got to interrogate you about this little traffic jam you were in. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, a minute for my good friend Doc Linville. Doc Linville, best in the business at the NeoGraft procedure. Bottom line is, if you got pattern baldness, you're thinning, or you're actually bald, and you want to get your hair back, and you don't think there's any solutions that are permanent to get it back, I'm here to tell you about the NeoGraft procedure. And better yet, you should let Doc Linville and his staff do it. Just go to 975hair.com. Check it out. See some of the information. Sign up for your free consultation that normally costs $150, but because you listen to us and you go to 975hair.com, you get the consultation for free. And just go in and get all the information you can possibly get and see if you might be the next to actually go through with the procedure. I did it. I couldn't be happier with it. And I'm here to tell you it's a game changer. It's your own hair. The one thing that Doc told me right off the top that I wasn't aware of, you're never going to lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head, no matter how much hair you lose in other places. He takes some of that hair, he relocates it to where you need it, and in no time at all, suddenly you see the results of getting your hair back, you get that self-confidence back with it, and you've got a whole new perspective on life. It's absolutely fantastic. I can't tell you how great it is enough by telling you how much success I've experienced. You could be the next in line. Go to 975hair.com today and check out my good friend Doc Linville.
Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
He's Blank, I'm Branham. We'll get to Blankers. Embrace the sucker. Is he still on that train in just a second? I got some interrogating questions, though, for you. You arrived, when did he, 41 minutes? 341? 341, 41 minutes.
Yeah, can I get some 41.
Blankers?
Coffee, if we're going to be in here for a while, if I'm getting interrogated, I may need my lawyer.
We already have the coffee and a smoke.
We already have the big spotlight. The
spotlight's already there.
We just need to turn it.
Believe me, I got that part of it.
So here's some interrogating questions that I have for you. First off, you allege that you were in a traffic jam that forced you to be 41 minutes late to work today. This picture that you sent... been in this for over an hour, moving about a foot and a half a minute on 59. Some say this was blah, 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 caused by police escort, blah, 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 blah. The picture that you sent is very sunny. Outside, it is very gray. What's up with that?
So I heard you say this, but I also was in the car long enough to watch the clouds and the sun and everything like that. Depending on the angle and if I had a semi alongside of me, shading me, I really could give a rat's ass if you could see the sun shining or not, because I have multiple pictures on my phone of both 18-wheelers, several medical vehicles, and police vehicles, and the fact that I was already at a level of frustration that I heard this on the radio and went, and you hung up on me? Okay, well, this is what you're going to get, and this is where we're going to leave it, and if you want to keep pushing it, go ahead.
I didn't hear anything there that would find you innocent. I heard a lot of deflecting there.
If
without
it mattered
actually
to me enough with you, I would show you the other pictures, but I'm not going to. And Brian, by the way, if I could have walked here in a foot and a half a minute, I still would have beat you.
I also heard some guilt there that the picture that you posted was not the actual time of when you posted
it. Oh, no, it wasn't. That was exactly.
There we go.
That was exactly what.
I don't know that. Were you texting and tweeting while you were operating a vehicle?
Yeah, because the car wasn't moving.
Yeah. We might get you for a lesser crime,
no,
but I think
you
really
can't.
You. They got Al Capone for tax evasion. Yep. I think we got Blakers for texting and tweeting while operating a motor vehicle.
Well, the car wasn't moving, so as
still
I
operating.
Explained.
Was the car on?
We were stuck in traffic.
Was car on?
Yeah, the engine was on for the
it's
air killed. Conditioning.
It's
yeah, absolutely.
Was it in gear?
No, it was in park because I had the air conditioning on as I waited for us to move the next foot and a half in the next couple of minutes.
We'll leave it to the Hive. 713-780-3776. Is Blankers guilty? 713-780-3776.
There's going to be an overwhelming vote, just like the freaking Fight Club. I can't wait.
Yeah, our voters are not good.
I've got a few issues. Voters. I've got a few issues with the votes.
Very, very poor voters. All right, let's get down to business. We stand on business around here. Are you still on the embrace the suck now? Rockets are a game behind the play-in?
Yeah, because the end result to me is still the same. Like, even if you get in, how long will you stay in? Will it be a game? Maybe two? I don't think you're even going to get to the point where you're going to get a series out of it. So to me, the fact that you've got everybody paying attention, you have everybody locally and nationally realizing you're on a heater. You're playing unbelievably good basketball right now. People are taking notice of the coaching staff, the team, the way you're playing, all those things. Those are all huge positives. But the fact to me that you still would have a better chance percentage-wise to try and hang on to your own pick as well as the Brooklyn pick that you basically control and add maybe even another good player so that you would have the chance to get even better quicker and maybe elevate it even further is still something that I'm on board with. I'm not going to change the stance simply because they're playing good basketball. Whether this heater keeps going or not, I'm obviously pulling for them. But I think for the long-term betterment of the team, I still would love to have a better chance to get the ping pong balls.
A couple of things that I would push back on. First off is like the probability of the ping pong balls. Like right now you're in 12th. You've played to a 500 record, and your chances of getting a top four pick are 7-1. The Bulls, who are ahead of you they're behind you by a game and a half, it only increases to 9.4. Atlanta, who's the next team in line, you're 4 ahead of Atlanta. It increases to 13.9. Then you're ahead of Utah, who's 29-42. You're currently six and a half games ahead of Utah. That increases to 20.3. So, like, that's a long way to drop. I don't think that Utah can catch you. I don't really think Atlanta can catch you. I think the furthest that you can drop to this point is 11th worst in the NBA, and they get you from 7.1% to 9.4%. Is that 2.5%, is that worth not getting the 10th spot and playing valuable games? Secondly, how much does that development or how much does that high stakes play, whether you're chasing down a play-in spot or actually trying to play, getting into a play-in spot, how much does that help the overall development, and are you willing to trade that overall development for 2.5%? I'm not there anymore. The Rockets have played themselves, from my point of view, out of that conversation.
Yeah, to me, I hear what you're saying. And like I said, I never fought it if everybody wants to.
Sure,
obviously,
sure.
But my logic was when I was thinking about the number 20%. Like that Utah win on Saturday night was absolutely crushing for the chances of getting to the 20% too. So like I also understand my way of thinking was if you had a 20% chance on anything, I might be ready to roll the dice because I think that there's at least a legit chance with the way these lotteries have gone in the past that you might be able to absolutely luck your way into getting that second pick. When it drops below 20% and it significantly drops because of who you're beating and how the leads that you have, then I totally understand that, hey, it's probably a worthless cause anyway because no matter what you do, win or lose, you probably surpass the opportunity to have a better than 20% chance to maintain your own pick.
Like, how many ping pong balls do you need to trade off the development for whatever you think it helps of trying to play into the play-in spot, and then if you're fortunate enough to do so, playing in that play-in spot? I think that's where the conversation's at. And it's a very convoluted conversation, like, to be honest with you, because you're talking about percentages, you're talking about the unknown quantity or the unknown quality of making a play-in and what that actually does for future development. So it's a lot of unknown. It's a lot of gray, to be honest.
No, like, you're right, because the way of thinking about this was the playoff experience, even if it's for one game, is valuable. The thing that I felt was more valuable was the chance that you could have two significantly strong picks in this upcoming draft where there's some more talent where you could add it to say, hey, I think that's worth more than a possible one and done in a playoff scenario. But now when you look at the odds, you look at it and say, I'm all on board for getting this young team the opportunity to feel that the taste of do or die, win or go home, and then understand if you lose what it feels like, understand how high it's ramped up in terms of the pressure and significance when you play a game like that, and learn from it, remember it, and use it as a tool, because you know Udoka will.
8638, I smell cap in your defense case, Blankers. 8437, Blankers used a picture filter on Instagram to add sunshine trying to become an influencer. Yes or no?
No.
Yay or nay? Not an influencer picture?
I'm not Jennifer Rayner.
You're not Branham, who is an influencer. 5433, show the time steps on the pictures, Blankers. They need more information. You can tweet it.
If I cared about you that much to like have to feel like
you don't have to, you don't have to be mean to them for just saying they need more evidence to try to get more information on the case to charge you guilty or not guilty. I mean, two wrongs don't make a right. 9589, guilty. 9589 says 6941. I say give him a break. Houston traffic is pure trash. You're lucky he made it in. Are we lucky? 0815, sunny and 610 at Wayside.
Yeah, right. Okay, so thanks for the weather report, Dr.
Radar. Well, they're actually defending you.
Right, but I didn't even look at the sky. I'm looking at all the freaking wall-to-wall parking lot that I was stuck in. Look,
you're being mean to your defense attorney.
I was in a car and tied up all weekend, and then to get in the car and be tied up, nothing. I hate very few things worse than I hate being stuck in traffic.
A lot of rambling going on.
I think we need to ask permission to treat the witness as hostile.
Yeah.
I think we're reaching that point.
Mm-hmm. Can we hold him in contempt of court?
You seen that video where that one guy goes over the freaking top to get to the judge? You don't want to get there.
Yeah. 504. I kind of want to, actually. 504.
Team content, baby.
Car in park to prevent it from operating. Unforeseen emergency defense. Joel is not guilty.
Thank you.
This reminds me of an episode of Maury. You are not
The father.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN. Let's get to the Fight Club bracket. We had some major, major upsets that happened over the weekend. Who advanced and what are the matchups today in the first annual ESPN Killer Bee Fight Club bracket? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, tell you that we know that we can feel the heat, the humidity. It's coming, and once it gets here, it ain't going anywhere. You got to make sure your AC unit and your HVAC is all up to speed before it's too late. Too late means it conks out on you in the middle of summer, and you've got nothing to do that can help you, and you're looking for somebody that can help ASAP. That's why I speak for Vanderford Air, because Vanderford Air has that same-day guarantee. You call them, and within 24 hours, they're going to be there to be at your place to help you with your air conditioning problems and make sure that you don't have to wait days just to get someone to check it out. They're absolutely fantastic, and everything is 100% money-back guarantee. They have the best value at the lowest cost to you. They have the comfort assurance guarantee that the temperature will be and stay exactly where it needs to be. Quality workmanship, whether it's a repair or replacement of products, and the performance guarantee that everything operates at factory standards. And the most important thing to you, 100% satisfaction guarantee or your money back. That's the toughest thing to find in business these days, especially when you're talking about heating, air conditioning, even plumbing, because they do an unbelievable job of plumbing as well. But everything they do is guaranteed for you. That's why I speak for them. You can check them out today. Call them 281-557-COOL. It's simple, right? 281-557-COOL or go to VanderfordAir.com.